this lesson from Acts chapter 16 is, from a pastor's perspective, it's fun to teach as a Bible study. Because if you have the electronics, the laptop with the maps of the Bible area, you can show on a screen about Paul's missionary journeys and about where all of these towns and communities are that are named. And you can give people a visual picture about how the Christian church just grew mightily with the spreading of God's word. But it's a little hard to do that without the maps in front of you, because if you're like me, I'm a visual learner. So instead of talking about the maps and the geology and the typology and the roads and everything else like that, we're going to talk about the heart. Now, it's not something you see, but you know you have. In this lesson, we are reminded that it is God who opens our heart and puts faith inside. Now, the first example is that of Paul. Paul is named earlier in the same section of Acts. Paul is told, he says he wants to go over to this one geographical area, and the Holy Spirit stops him. So the thing we learn about Paul's heart is, not only did God create faith in Paul, in his heart, but that Paul's heart was by faith open to listen to God's instructions. So Paul didn't go where he wasn't supposed to go. And the flip side is, Paul did go, being obedient to God, where he wanted him to go. So Paul and some others, the early Christian leaders, they went to different communities, and here they came to this area that did not have a synagogue. Now, the hypothesis, again, I wasn't there, so I don't know. You weren't there, so you don't know for sure. But the thinking behind this is, the reason they went out to the water, to the riverside, was that in the Old Testament culture, water was very biblical and used for washing, ritual, ceremonial washing. It was a reminding about the cleansing of God's people. And so you had this history of the division of the waters and the Red Sea, and it was all of that, how God used water from the rock and so forth. So water had a significant visual picture that touched the heart. Now, that's the hypothesis. Can I prove it? No. I can only tell you Paul went to the water. That's what the Bible says, and that we know for sure is true. And there by the water were some people, and Paul shared the gospel. And the power of the word opened up the heart and created faith. And one woman is Lydia. Lydia has her heart open that she now believes in Jesus Christ as her Savior, and she's baptized. Again, the use of the water. But instead of just ceremonial, now the water is connected to the living word, and that by the very promise of God, an act of God, the Holy Spirit is given, faith is created, and she now knows her Lord in a very personal way in her heart. As her heart is open to God, her heart becomes open to others. And she invites Paul, whom she never met before. And if she had heard about him, Paul didn't have a good reputation when he first became famous, because he was a persecutor of Christians. But now her heart is open, and she received the gospel from Paul, so now she invites Paul to her home and the people with him. And that's where this text stops. Those are the sequence. In our world today, we have a hard time with our heart. Not because we eat French fries too much, but because we guard it so strongly. Bullying is on the increase. hurtful words are not decreasing, they're multiplied, and with media, it comes at us fast. We guard our heart because people have shown they'll take advantage of you in a heartbeat, right? And so we like to protect our heart. And here's the challenge for us. In our world today, as God opens our heart, are we willing to risk leaving our heart open for the sake of the people around us, that God may reach them through his love that's in us? This weekend is a holiday weekend. It's Memorial Day coming up. And I wrote down some statistics for you. Memorial Day is about honoring those who died in battle. Not served, but those who actually gave their life in battle. Historical records are really suspicious, but they believe that at least in the American Revolution, over 4,400 people died in battle. During the American Civil War, over 498,000 died in battle. During World War I, of the Americans, there were other nationalities as well, but over 53,400 died in World War I in battle. World War II was even larger, 291,557 people died in battle. Korean War, 36,574. Vietnam, 58,220. The Persian Gulf, 383. The Iraq War, 4,412. Afghanistan, as of the end of 2017, was 2,351. Now, when you add the people that were wounded, who didn't die on the battlefield, but died later at home, in hospitals, in care facilities, the numbers go up. People died fighting and serving for what they believed. If we take a different topic, a different kind of battle, it's called spiritual warfare. I have no idea how many Christians on this planet have died serving the Lord. My guess, and it is only a guess, it would be larger than the total here. Because we're talking about a long time instead of a few years of war. And we're talking the planet instead of a local fight. People have died for Christ. Some were martyred, persecuted, tortured in all kinds of ways. But not just that, people have given their life, their energy. They have, by the love of Christ in their heart, they have made choices. They have been guided, called by God to do service, to show others love. There have been people who have died because they got sick on a mission trip. There have been people who have died because they were in the midst of tribal warfare. There have been people who have died all around the planet within every generation. I think it's appropriate that we have a Memorial Day here in the United States. But if you think about it, every Sunday we mention, we worship, we praise one who died. By name, Jesus Christ our Lord. His battle was a victory. He won over sin, death, and the devil. God opened up his heart and showed us his love. The Bible even talks about it. In this is love. Not that we love God first, but that he loved us. And he sent his only begotten Son. The love of God that was in Paul is the love of God that changed Paul. From a feisty, arrogant, you know, person willing to persecute, put to death anybody who didn't see it his way, to becoming one who wanted to rescue all the enemies of Christ, to share the gospel message that Jesus Christ lived and died for them. That's quite a change, isn't it? The love of God in Paul is the same love of God that's in you. Then we meet a woman by the name of Lydia, and that love of God changes her, so that she too joins the kingdom, the priesthood of all believers, that she too becomes washed by the water and the word, and her sins are forgiven. She too becomes alive in Christ. And that love of God inside her heart leads to love for people around her, like Paul, a stranger, and she invited him in. I think, for us to highlight the battlefield and the world wars, some of the things we even call a skirmish, you know. But I think the greater struggle is for us to battle against our sinful nature and to the wickedness of the world around us. The voice of our society right now wants us to live for self. Have you noticed that? Don't serve others. Look out for number one. That's you, because nobody else will. That's the voice of the world. And then the second voice of the world is look out for your own kind. And therefore we have every movement under the sun, right? For every division, for every group, for every culture, for every color, for every language, we have these, you know, me first. It is an insane world. And into a nutty world, a confused world, a vicious world, comes God's love. Into our world comes God's love. And it opens up our heart, and it changes us from being selfish, arrogant, pig-headed, stubborn, to willing to be on our knees, confess our sins, and say, lead me. Show me which way you want me to go. Show me how to use body and soul for the glory of God. Show me how. Teach me the ways, O Lord. And there's many ways to serve. And if you ever thought about it, please do. Our serving is a battlefront. Our serving is a way to confront poverty. It is a way to confront loneliness. It is a way to battle depression. But mostly it is a battlefront fighting the ways of the sinful thinking and the sinful heart of humanity. So often we are in the mode of survival, trying to find out how to make it through the day. Maybe the week. God calls us to be like Paul and Lydia. He calls us by opening the heart, putting his love inside, and telling us, don't close it. Oh, please don't close your heart. It's not something you're just to be full of and keep for yourself, but it's something that we who believe get to proclaim to a world that doesn't. That we who know God's love get to be loving as God has empowered us and taught us and showed us. We who embrace the truth, as confusing as it is, victory over death, sin, and the devil, wow. But by faith, we say, this is true. We have that kind of love, the truth of God's word, in the heart, and we bear it open for others. We have a mission. Every believer, every Christian has this mission. It is to love your neighbor as yourself. It's not just a law or a summary of the law. It is the power of the gospel by which it is enabled and done. So in a way, we are to be the Paul and the Lydia in our time. We are to tell those who don't know the story of Jesus and its meaning. We are to tell those who are confused about the story and the meaning of Jesus. We are to find the opportunity. And when they disagree with us, don't be disagreeable. Don't punch them, please. But share the love of God. And trust that the Holy Spirit may do his work. For it is the Holy Spirit that changes their heart to be more of an open box, filled with his love and overflowing. In the name of Christ, amen.